Paul the Apostle said, I'd rather be in heaven, but because of y'all, I have to stay here. Amen. John chapter 14, one of the portions of scriptures that read to Mrs. Talmadge the day before she passed. Well, that day and that night she passed. And I've looked at this and I go over it and I'm just thrilled about what heaven is. First of all, heaven is a new place. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 21 and verse 1, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. Heaven is a custom-built place. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Heaven is a place for only believers. But as it is written, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Heaven is a place where there will be a lot of shouting. And after Mrs. Talmadge like that, she always just tells her, speak up. After these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Alleluia, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. Revelation 19. 1. The closing score of Handel's Messiah, the great theme, of course, of the Hallelujah Chorus. The great glory to God is that the Lord God omnipotent reigneth, Revelation chapter 19 and verse 6. At last will the marriage feast of the Lamb will take place, and all the saints on earth will be forever with their Savior, and all sorrows will be gone. And we will lose its power, and sin will lose its power over our flesh, and we will be set free and never have to ask for forgiveness again. And all God's people said, Amen. The question that I posed to you this morning, why should then we fear the thought of death? My God promised to take care of his saints. He promises that he will not leave us. He promises us he will not forsake us. He promises us that certain things will not be in heaven. He promises us that he will not abandon his saints. He promises us that he will feed us. He promised that we will give that he will give us peace. And there was a time when old Paul, the apostle, in his life, the Lord allowed him to take a peek into heaven. And he saw some of the things that changed him the rest of his earthly life. No longer did he have the desire of the things of this world. No longer did he seek the things where mortal things were he was seeking from. When you take a look in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, just study the life of Paul, you will get an idea that there's something that really changed him in his life. How that one was caught into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which was not lawful for a man to utter. This experience transformed his life. He gave him even a greater vision to serve God and as he headed for heaven. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 15. It seems to be his life verse. And I will very gladly spend and be spent for him. Though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. Why was Paul so excited to leave this world? Well, for me, he said, to live is Christ, and die is gain. Why? Because what he saw. I propose to you today that if you would get a glimpse of heaven, you'd bury the hatchet, you'd drop your silly childlike games, you'd try everything you could to list everyone you could to get to heaven. What a time it's going to be, and what a time it must have been for that Thursday morning when Mrs. Talmadge stepped in the celestial shores of heaven, realizing that she was finally home. Huh? Her back straightened up, amen? And she could hear. And she could see. And she was out of pain. Don't tell me. I was talking to a lady the other day. She worked at the hospital. And she said, I still remember you saying, what's wrong with heaven? What's wrong with heaven? That was about 4 years ago. Her name is Evie. I was really surprised she remembered that. Oh, what a time it must have been. Stepped in those celestial sores of heaven. Realizing the pain is gone. Realizing the heartache's gone. Realizing all the cares of life are gone. Just for a few 91 years on this old earth. Look at what Paul said. Philippians chapter 1, verse 23. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having desired to depart. In other words, go to heaven and to be with us Christ, which is far better. He says in Second Corinthians chapter 5, verse 2, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens, for in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon our house which is from heaven. We, in verse 8, we are confident, I say, and willing, rather, to be absent from this body and present with the Lord. Paul believed when he died, his soul would not go to sleep. Rather, he would be in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. The thief on the cross, next to our precious Savior, he said to the Lord, Lord, remember me. And Jesus promised him, today thou wilt be with me in paradise. Paul told the Philippians of their desire to depart and to be with Christ. Death may take a Christian down, but he can't keep him down. Death enables the saint of God to leave his body, but he's present with our Lord. Death is God's porter to open up the door so that the trusting child may go home to the Father and to the Father's house. Death may be a grim monster to the unbeliever, but to the believer, death conquers our foe. When death comes to the saint, it permits him to pass safely from one scene of suffering to a place of singing and worshiping and glorifying God. For the shadow of the earth, from the shadows of the earth to the sun's light of heaven, David wrote in Psalm 116 and verse 15, precious is the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. What a remarkable statement in this passage. Our Lord reveals how precious to his own heart we are. Is that what brings such deep sorrow to human hearts? Of course, the question arises at once in our minds, why is death, the death of a saint, precious in the Lord's sight? Well, I think you can look in the Word of God and you can find it. The Word, the Lord God, watches us at our sick bed, sees the suffering child, sees the anguishing heart, the sadness of the dear ones. He hears their prayers, but provides some better thing for them. He watches the life as it ebbs away. He sees the strength gradually leaving the body. He sees the ravaging effects of disease, and it consumes the vital force of the dying saint. He sees all the suffering in the sick room. They are in his sight. As the candle flickers in its socket, and the shadow of the valley falls across the path of the suffering child of God, he watches, he sees, and he permits. It is all done in his sight. Then as the eyes fail and the eyelids droop in death and the spirit takes its flight, he is still watching and says, it is precious. When God says that such an event is precious, it is not without good reason. Why is the death of the saint precious in the sight of the Lord? First of all, number one, it brings his child home. It brings his child home. If the Lord purchased you with his precious blood, of course, he wants to bring you home to himself. When we buy an article and purchase in a store, the buyer desires to have it for himself, and so he takes it home with him. No matter how insignificant of article it may be, whatever it costs, 10 cents or $100, the buyer will want to take that possession along with him to home. It may be that you have felt that you are quite obscured and that you're not very much valued and really very small. but not think so. The Savior paid a great price for your salvation, your redemption. And He will surely want to have you in the Father's house with Him. If He does not descend from the skies in glory, He will permit death and to take you through the valley and thus enable you to go to His glorious palace. He will not overlook the least of His children. He will take the smallest and the weakest and the great as well as the strong. Why is death precious to the saints in the sight of the Lord? Well, the saints' days of training are over. Think of how many years Miss Talmadge trained. 91 years. Man, I hope I learned quicker than that. Amen. All through His life, our Lord Jesus Christ is looking after His sheep and training us and preparing us for that eternal heaven and kingdom. Here, He must teach us some lessons, many lessons, in the schoolhouse of glory. Here, we must bear with our dull minds, our slow intellect, and our poor comprehension. Thirdly, why the death of the saints is precious in the sight of the Lord. The Lord may exhibit His workmanship. Our Lord molds us in earth's furnace. He trains us in the schools of tribulation. He teaches us in the college of strange experiences. His is a long life task, and we are the product of months and years of His workmanship. Circumstances and events have much to do with our character to having the finished article for the honor of the blessed name. He must do a good work in us, else we shall be ashamed when the final inspection takes place. Death ushers us out of the factory into the showroom where He can put us on display for the Maker. What a joy it must be to His heart when He makes an exhibit of us to the Father and the angels and the heavenly host. Number four, why is the death of the saint precious in the sight of God? The worst is over for the saints. Yes, the precious saint sickened and suffering, fading away, but they are all His saints. He could prevent it if He wanted to. He could shorten their days of suffering if He desired to. He sees the suffering and beholds their tears and hears their prayers, but His answer is no. Just as the Apostle Paul, when Apostle Paul came to Christ and said, "Lord, please take this from me." And Jesus said, "My grace is sufficient. For in your weakness, I'll make you strong." He may take His saints out of the springtime of life. He may take His saints out of the midsummer of life. And others He takes out of the golden harvest. Why is the death of the saint precious in the sight of God? Five, Satan is fully defeated. Satan is fully defeated. The devil is opposed to Jesus Christ. He does not want any soul to be saved. He does not want all he can to prevent the hearts from responding to the gospel. After the soul is saved, he does his utmost to wreck the person on the sea of life and cause him to come limping into the port with cargo gone and the sails torn and the railings wrecked and only battered hull for the owner. It is precious in the sight of the Lord to see His child safely anchored at a last harbored home. Why is the death of the saint precious in the sight of God? His protecting care is no longer needed. There are many evils that befall us, many evils that influence at work that would harm us, to hurt our saints. False doctrine presents plausible arguments. Clever teachers with persuasive words offer cunning devices and fables about the scriptures. Satan has many religions in which he cleverly uses the scripture to allure and to attract the mind of the beautiful words and deceitful reasons. At the homegoing of a believer, the shelter of the wings is no longer needed. Sin cannot enter the heavenly abode. I'm happy about that. I like that song we sang about the prayer. It says, farewell, farewell. You know, I'm not going to pray anymore. Why is death of the saints precious in the sight of God? His name is gloriously here thereby. How wonderful it will be for our wonderful Lord Jesus when he points out the glorified saints. Paul had a burning compassion because he knew the truth of heaven. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, he'd cry. There is a price to pay for sin. There's a price is hell. Do you know there is more about hell written in the Bible than heaven? Paul was astonished at hell. Paul was astounded to the fact of heaven. Paul was overwhelmed at the fact that the people literally were going to spend eternity in burning pit of hell. Paul was awed to the fact that how simple it was not to go to hell. It started and it stirred him to the core. That is why he gave his whole life to keep men out of that terrible place of torment. He continually placed his life on the line so that others could come to Christ. I'm reminded of the story that was given back in March 1998 in Jonesboro, Arkansas. A teacher was killed on the 24th of March, 1998, on Thursday in Jonesboro, Arkansas, was Mrs. Sharon Wright, 32, an English teacher, died Tuesday night after she had placed herself in the line of fire between the killer and her students. She was hit twice by rifle bullets. Thursday night, the TV program called 60 Minutes called her a hero and put her life that she put her life on the line for the Savior, for his students. But I want you to look at the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. The world, unfortunately, does not look at him as a hero. Nor do they as the Apostle Paul or John or Peter or James. People don't even have what this Savior did, nor the foggiest idea of what these men did to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. Listen to the heroes of the Bible in Hebrews chapter 11. And what shall I say more? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah and David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword. Out of weakness they were made strong, waxed valiant to fight, and turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trials of cruel mocking and scourging, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonments. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains, and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having attained a good report through faith, received not the promise. For God provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Psalm 16, verse 11. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. In thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. We have so much to be thankful for. Thank God for heaven. Thank God for heaven. I can't say it enough. Heartaches and sorrows penetrate us day after day in this old world. Troubles and sorrows meet us every day. But let me tell you something. There is a God in heaven that says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. There's a God in heaven that says, I will always be with you. There's a God in heaven that says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's our promise. That's our hope. We sorrow not as others who have no hope. Yeah, we sorrow. Good night. When I look over there and don't see Mrs. Talmadge there, I sorrow. Been our friend for a long time. But I thank God she's in heaven. No more troubles and sorrows. No more worrying about whether or not her rent was going to get paid. No more worrying about eating, being taken care of. Ladies and gentlemen, I say heaven is all good. And it's all good. It's so good to know our God. Father, I pray you'd help us today. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for loving us and caring for us. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are a God of heaven that has made a place for us. And Lord, if there be anyone here today not sure they're saved, not sure they're on their way to heaven, today would be that day. Say, I want Christ to be my Savior. I want Jesus to be my Savior. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. You're here today and say, preacher, you know, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. My friend, I'd certainly like to help you. It's a wonderful thing to know Jesus Christ as personal Savior. It's a wonderful thing to know that you're absent from this old body, you're present with the Lord. What a wonderful assurance that is from God. You're here today and you say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. Will you please pray for me? Would you lift your hand and let me pray for you? I'd sure love to pray for you. Now, Heavenly Father, I pray you'd bless this time. Thank you for loving us and caring for us. I pray you would do a great work in our hearts and lives. Help us to realize what you have done for us. In Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I'm going to ask everyone to stand. You're here today and you're not sure you're saved. You're not sure you're on your way to heaven. I'm going to invite you to come forward and meet me up front. You're here today and say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm on the way there, but I'd sure like to know.